This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Imagine spending like billions of dollars in years of intense engineering to build this cutting-edge frontier AI model.
Right.
And then you wake up one morning and suspect a competitor just built a nearly identical clone in 2 weeks for a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, it's a total nightmare scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the era of AI model distillation. I mean, we talk constantly about the sleek product launches and the polished keynotes, right?
We do, yeah.
But today we are looking at the bare-knuckle brawl happening completely out of frame. The gloves are really coming off geopolitically, legally, and financially.
The landscape has fundamentally shifted, honestly. It's gone from a race for innovation to a straight-up war of attrition.
Yeah, and to map this all out, we're basing today's deep dive on a July 24, 2026 report, along with some really highly detailed commentary provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Which gives us a great perspective on this.
Exactly. We're going to uncover these hidden battles and, most importantly, figure out what this friction means for you, the tools you use, and the enterprise contracts you sign every day.
Because the public claims and lawsuits we're seeing this week, they aren't just squabbles between tech executives. They represent structural changes in how AI is trained, regulated, and, you know, ultimately priced.
So let's just unpack this first big international drama. We're starting with a major clash between the U.S. and China.
Right, the Michael Kratsios comments.
Yeah. So Kratsios, the U.S. White House Science and Technology Policy Director, publicly alleged that China's moonshot AI created their massive new 2.8 trillion parameter model, which is called Kimi K3, by secretly copying Anthropic's Fable model.
And doing it really fast.
Right. He claims they used a technique called model distillation, and allegedly bypassed U.S. export controls by routing their servers through Thailand.
Which is a huge accusation.
It is. Okay, let's unpack this a bit. My understanding of distillation is, well, is model distillation basically like interrogating the smartest kid in class to steal their brain instead of, you know, actually studying?
It is actually a great analogy, yeah. You're bypassing the need to scrape the internet from scratch.
But how does that yield a 2.8 trillion parameter model just weeks after Fable's July 1st release? I mean, that's incredibly fast.
Well, it comes down to the mechanics of how distillation captures the reasoning of the teacher model. You aren't just taking the final text output, like the hard answer.
Okay.
In true distillation, you are trying to capture the probability distributions. They're often called soft labels or logits, which the larger model generates across its entire vocabulary before it even picks a word.
Oh, wow. So it's seeing the whole thought process.
Exactly. Oh. It shows the student model not just what the right answer is, but the runner-up answers and the conceptual relationships between them.
That's wild.
Yeah. And if Kratsios' claim is accurate, Moonshot allegedly built a specialized internal platform to run this process at an industrial scale, constantly rotating their access pathways so they wouldn't trip Anthropic security limits.
Right. But we do need to be extremely clear here about impartiality, because these are completely unproven public allegations from the White House.
Right, not a finalized legal investigation at all.
Exactly. And China has categorically denied the entire narrative. I mean, Lin Jin, the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson, stated they firmly opposed the politicization of tech.
And the Chinese embassy in the U.S. also just dismissed the remarks as completely baseless.
Right. Though the real test is coming up quickly, because Moonshot plans to open source the weights of Kimi K3 on July 27th.
Which could settle the debate. Independent researchers will get to look under the hood and directly compare its architecture to Fable.
So we'll see soon enough. But what's really interesting is the U.S. response. Lawyer Kyungjin Kim notes in his commentary that the U.S. Treasury is actually threatening entity-list sanctions here rather than just a standard copyright lawsuit.
Yeah, and that's a very specific, aggressive nuance.
I found that detail so compelling. I mean, why jump straight to federal sanctions? If someone copies your software, doesn't a civil copyright lawsuit seem like the standard playbook?
Normally, yes. But distillation sits in a sort of legal gray area when it comes to copyright. However, it is a black and white issue regarding contract law.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, when a developer accesses Anthropic's API, you know, the software bridge, they have to agree to strict terms of service. And those terms expressly forbid using API outputs to train a competing commercial model.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right. So lawyer Kim Jin Kim points out that this is primarily a breach of contract and a potential violation of trade secrets. And when you combine an industrial scale contract breach with allegedly bypassing semiconductor export controls via a third party nation like Thailand,
it stops being a simple civil dispute.
Exactly. It triggers national security mechanisms.
And this whole protectionist instinct is compounding globally right now. The report notes China's Commerce Ministry is discussing its own export controls on AI model weights, training data, and chip designs.
They're building their own walls.
Yeah. But at the same time, at a recent APEC meeting in Chengdu, attendees adopted a declaration opposing economic decoupling. South Korea even proposed a global AI hub.
It's totally contradictory. The diplomatic rhetoric and the actual economic policies are completely out of phase. They're praising a unified global ecosystem while preparing export bans to starve each other of compute.
That's wild. But, you know, while nations are fighting over export controls, a totally different kind of legal battle is brewing in domestic courts. And Anthropic is actually on the defensive in this one.
Yes, the Delaware lawsuit.
Right. They're being sued in federal court by the University of Tennessee Research Foundation, but not over copyright. They're being sued over neuromorphic computing and brain science-based learning patents.
What's fascinating here is this represents a major structural pivot in AI litigation. Lawyer Chin-Jin Kim maps this out perfectly in the report.
How so?
Well, until now, AI lawsuits were almost entirely about copyright, basically, what data the AI consumed. But this University of Tennessee patent lawsuit is about how the AI actually computes internally.
Okay, but how can anyone prove what math is happening inside an AI black box if they can't even see the source code? I mean, Anthropic keeps that locked down.
You're touching on the central vulnerability of the whole case. If the plaintiffs can't reach the model's interior, proving infringement is incredibly hard.
Right.
Lawyer Kim Jin Kim notes that the entire outcome hinges on the discovery phase. The plaintiffs have to convince a judge there is enough circumstantial evidence to force Anthropic to open up its algorithmic black box.
If the judge says no, it's basically impossible to prove.
Exactly. But for the business leaders listening to this deep dive, this shift has massive immediate consequences.
Because the liability travels down the supply chain.
Yes. If your business integrates a foreign AI model, and that model infringes on a patent regarding how it computes, you as the end user could be targeted for contributory infringement.
Oh, wow. So just checking that the training data is legal isn't enough anymore.
Not even close. Lawyer Kyungjin Kim's advice here is uncompromising. You have to write explicit indemnification clauses into your enterprise contracts covering patent infringement for the model's internal mechanics.
Or you're stuck paying the legal bills for software you don't even own. And it's not just patent lawyers coming after tech operations. Regulators are heavily scrutinizing them too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Korea's Personal Information Protection Commission, the PIPC, just levied some massive fines, over $10.3 billion. One against TikTok for hidden tracking pixels.
Which silently log user behavior across third-party apps without consent.
Right. And another $252 million, one against Apple for collecting Siri voice data without proper consent.
They're really looking past the basic privacy policies now and actually analyzing the network traffic to catch this stuff.
So we have legal risks, regulatory fines, and geopolitical walls. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. All of this is compounding a sudden financial reality check.
The Q2 earnings.
Yes. It's a massive contradiction. Alphabet and Tesla just posted record revenues for Q2. Alphabet was up 24% to nearly $120 billion. Tesla was up 26% to over $28 billion.
Huge numbers.
Huge. But their stocks plummeted on July 23rd. Tesla dropped over 12%. Alphabet fell almost 7%.
Oh.
Why did Wall Street sell off stock for companies making record revenue?
Because they looked past the revenue and focused entirely on the CapEx, the capital expenditure. AI requires a staggering amount of cash to operate.
Right.
Alphabet's CapEx doubled to almost $45 billion, which threw their free cash flow into a negative $5.8 billion hole.
Wait, negative $5.8 billion?
Yeah, a year ago, that was a positive $24 billion. And Tesla saw a 142% spike in CapEx, also resulting in negative cash flow.
So the data centers and the chips are just draining all the cash.
Exactly. The infrastructure is a financial sinkhole. And on top of that, the data itself isn't free anymore.
Oh, the Reddit situation.
Yeah. Reddit is reportedly considering blocking Google from scraping its content because a $60 million a year deal has stalled. And Reddit's stock took a huge hit just on the rumor. High-quality human data is now a premium, gated commodity.
Okay, so hardware costs are doubling, data is paywalled, and legal liabilities are everywhere. What does this Wall Street drama actually mean for you, the listener, who is just trying to use these AI tools?
Well, going back to lawyer Kyungjin Kim's commentary, he warns that tech giants are eventually going to need to recoup these massive investments.
They're subsidizing it right now.
Exactly. And that subsidy period will end. They will raise prices for end users. So the takeaway for you is, if you are negotiating long-term AI contracts now, lock in price increase caps immediately.
That makes total sense. And you also mentioned transition clauses for deprecated models.
Yes, providers will ruthlessly kill off older, inefficient models to save money. We're seeing it tonight with DeepSeek. They are retiring their old models and forcing developers to move to V4 Pro and Flash architectures.
So if your whole workflow relies on the old model and it gets unplugged, you're out of luck.
Right, you need guaranteed deprecation timelines in your contracts.
That's a little daunting. But let's look at the silver lining here. Despite all this legal and financial chaos, the technology itself keeps accelerating and becoming more accessible.
Oh, the engineering leaps are incredible right now.
The report highlights some really major wins, like South Korea's Upstage just released Solar Open 2. It's a massive 250 billion parameter model, and it's fully open for commercial use.
And the context window on that is huge.
Yes. It can read 1 million tokens at once. I mean, you can dump an entire year of financial disclosures into the prompt, and it just synthesizes it.
No more building complex retrieval pipelines. That's amazing. And we're also seeing AI move into the physical world. Naver is exporting its smart building robot tech, the stuff they use in their 1784 headquarters, all the way to Tokyo.
Right, the cloud-based autonomous delivery robots.
Yeah, doing the heavy processing in the cloud makes the physical robots cheaper and lighter. And on the software side, Tencent Cloud just released CodeBuddy NPC.
This one blew my mind.
Right, it's an autonomous developer agent. It cuts token usage by up to 90%.
Wait, a 90% reduction? How does it even do that?
The agentic routing. Instead of shoving the whole code base into a massive model repeatedly, it breaks the task down. It routes simpler tasks to small, cheap models and only uses the heavy compute for complex debugging. It basically plans, writes, and executes the code entirely on its own.
That's incredible. And to close out the tech segment, I want to give you a highly actionable tip directly from the report's AI usage section.
Oh, the Mac feature.
Yes. If you use ChatGPT Desktop on a Mac, specifically version 26.715, you can now group multiple local folders into a single project.
This completely bridges the gap between cloud AI and your local files.
It really does. Imagine you're a researcher, right? You've got a folder for evidence, one for case notes, and one for briefs. You group them in the app. Then, using the new voice mode, you can simultaneously direct chat, work, and codex tasks across all of those folders.
You just tell it what to do verbally.
Exactly. You just say, hey, cross-reference the evidence in folder A with the notes in folder B and draft a brief into folder C. It natively interacts with your local system. No more copy-pasting.
It operates directly where your work actually lives.
Incredible. Well, we have covered a vast amount of terrain in this deep dive. We went from U.S.-China disputes over model distillation to the new frontier of AI patent lawsuits and the staggering financial costs tech giants are paying and eventually passing on to you to build this future.
And I want to leave you with a final lingering question to ponder as we wrap up.
Let's hear it.
We just talked about AI moving from simple chatbots to autonomous agents,
yeah,
right? Like Tencent's CodeBuddy that can plan and execute code entirely on its own.
Right, acting independently.
So what happens when an AI agent commits a patent infringement or breaches a contract without a human ever pressing a button?
Oh, wow.
When the AI is acting completely autonomously to solve a problem you gave it, who will the courts hold responsible for the bill? The developer who made the agent or you, the user who deployed it?
That is a terrifying and fascinating question. And figuring out that liability is where the next major battles will be fought. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Keep questioning the world of AI, and we will see you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow China AI, Robotics, and Semiconductor Briefing on Apple Podcasts.